Welcome to Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut, with Pastor Mark Copeland.
Greetings, one and all. Today we are diving back into the Psalms as we take a look at Psalm 43 for our session today. Now, Psalm 43 starts out with the term vindicate, at least in the NIV, which is the translation that I'm going to be reading today. And I think most of the English translations still start out with, vindicate me, O God. So let's really focus on maybe what does that mean? What does vindication mean? What is vindication? Because often when we do think about judgment, we think about God returning and judging the world. We do think about the flip side of judgment, the negative side, the condemnation side. But when God comes to rightly judge his creation, to judge his world, there is a positive side and a side of affirmation, if you will, and that is vindication. This is often what the Israelites cried out for in their history, especially as we go through the book of Psalms, that they want God to remember them, show up, come back and rightly judge the world, which means essentially to reward the righteous, to separate or condemn the unrighteous or the wicked. But when we think of God being on our side, we're thinking of just that, vindication, that we, those of us that are under the banner of Jesus Christ, those of us who have accepted or received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are marked out. We are covered, much like you would see in the Exodus story, where the Hebrews had to go by and paint the lamb's blood on their doorway, saving them from the angel of death during that last plague that Pharaoh brought on himself. So when we receive Jesus, when we take him on, we lift up our banner, we say, and we trust in the completed and finished work of Jesus Christ. We trust in that, and we take on the name Christian, Christ follower. We're marking ourselves out from the rest of the world, saying that we belong to him. We belong to God. We belong to the triune God, spelled out in the traditional Christian faith, that we were bought by the Son for the Father, and then the Holy Spirit, of course, comes around and makes that a reality, quickens our spirit, seals us, all of that, sort of that deeper stuff. But Psalm 43 starts out with, vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. And this is one of those psalms where folks can really rely on, they go to when they are in darker places, they're in a place of trial and tribulation, and it seems like God isn't acting. It seems like, you know, the world is going to a dark place. It's lighting itself on fire. It's tearing itself apart, and we look up to the heavens and we cry out to God, you know, God, where are you? Do something. This isn't what we were promised, so to speak. But the psalmist here, they start off with God being on his side. That's sort of the default mindset that we want to start off with, that we don't necessarily have to do anything to earn God's favor. We're already marked out. We already belong to God. We already have been bought through the accomplishment of Jesus that we see in the cross and the resurrection, and furthermore, his ministry on earth. So we have someone to argue our cause or plead our case to vindicate us as we belong to Jesus, both the Son of God, the Son of Man, right? The Son head of the Trinity. And the psalmist here on 43 asks God to rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. So even in the world that's broken and lost today, we're not sure what's happening, why it's happening, and we're crying out to God saying, rescue me from this world. Come back, vindicate me, plead my cause, and rescue me. So this vindication isn't just God pleading our case, showing us or showing the world, our oppressors, as you go on through the psalm, that he is on our side. But no, vindication also means God actively rescues us. We're asking to be actively rescued from the world system, a system that is run by darker souls, corrupt and deceitful people. We all know the phrase, if power corrupts, then absolute power corrupts absolutely. But we cry out, you are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Right? So this is strong language too. And sometimes we can feel like that on our own. Again, when it's dark, you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You're going through the trials of the season, that God has somehow forgotten about you, that he, in a sense, has rejected you, but more or less that he has forgotten about you, that he fell asleep at the wheel, he hasn't remembered you, he's forgotten promises that he made to you. And that's the real question the psalmist is asking here, is why does he have to go about mourning? Because he's oppressed in this world. He has these enemies, these real enemies that are going after him. In Psalm 43, it's very well could be talking about actual real people trying to hunt down the psalmist and kill him, as if God's not in charge. So he really is asking God, the psalmist here, is asking God to retake the throne, remember the deal that he made, and to vindicate those that have placed their trust and faith in him and his accomplished work. Which is why on verse 3, he asks, send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to a place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So we can really face those real questions, those doubts, when it does seem like things are going the wrong way on this side of eternity, that God's plan seems to be falling apart. We have no direction to turn. It seems that no matter what we do, we can't get. We're on a treadmill, right? So no matter what we do, we just keep running forward without going anywhere. And the promise here made, the promise of redemption, is that the psalmist is saying, if God rescues me from this reality, then I will praise your name. I will magnify your name, glorify you in the holy temple, sing songs about the great work that you've done. So this is the bargain that he's making with the Lord, is that the psalmist sees that he's in a dark place. There's people around him oppressing him. And that if God would only act and vindicate him as one that is faithful and one that is loyal to him, someone that's trying or attempting to walk in righteousness along that light path, that he will follow that path, praise God, But those last two, that last verse, those last two lines, is that he's reminding himself, the psalmist is. He's asking himself, why are you my soul? Why is my soul distraught? We don't put our faith or our trust in history or in the time that we live. We don't put our hope and faith in whether things on this side of eternity are working out, or that we're accomplishing sort of our self-made goals. Rather, in verse 5, we put our hope in God, and despite the downcast, or why we are disturbed with the happenings of this world, that yes, eventually, eternally, we will be rescued and vindicated for sure in a complete and perfect way. So we have to remind ourselves, and this doesn't just happen. We have to consciously remind ourselves that our hope is in God. Our trust is in His faithfulness, that God ultimately does what He says He will do. And this takes us to the topic of our next session, because we are entering the Advent season, the season of Christmas, and then the new year, which is about that atoning life and the atoning sacrifice that our Lord Jesus made on our behalf that brings about this new world and this new creation. So I hope to invite you to turn in for the next session. While we do discuss, we will be discussing a verse in Psalm 119, as we discuss a little bit about what Advent is, about hope and patience, about that waiting time. But we remember, first and foremost, that all of our hope, all of our trust, and this is why we praise Him, is placed in the faithfulness of God, in His accomplished work. I hope to hear from you. See you again. Thank you for joining me, and look forward to next session.
You have heard Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut, with Pastor Mark Copeland. For more information, call the church office at 860-283-6181 or email the church at fbcp24@gmail.com. We wish you blessings on your day.